Jesus and his disciples, not only the 12, but a few more, had just finished the Passover meal. They had celebrated God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. They had sung some songs and said some prayers, shared a good meal with each other. And then they left the place. And it says they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go pray." Now the assumption was that they were going to pray with him. He didn't mean for them just to sit and wait, but they were to pray with him. But he moves further in and he takes James and John and Peter a little further in, his inner circle. But then he leaves them and he goes a little further into the garden. So he has separated himself, not because he wants to, but because this is something that only he can do. He's getting ready to die for the world. But it's going to be hard. So he needs to spend some more time with his Father. So he goes to pray, and his prayer is very simple. Very simple. "Father, for you all things are possible." How many times have we started a prayer that way, to kind of build our own confidence in God answering our prayers? God, we know you can. There's nothing that you can't do. "Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." And after agonizing over that a while, he comes back to the disciples, and they're having a hard time staying awake, and it frustrates Jesus, and he tries to get them to stay awake and pray a little more, and he goes back and he does this two more times, same prayer. "Father, for you all things are possible. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want." Now the disciples can't imagine. We can't imagine. We know, and we know the story. We can't imagine the agony that Jesus goes through. He's getting ready to do something that only he can do. No one else is going to be able to experience what he has to go through now. I'm not sure if he understands what it's going to be like. He knows what he has to do, but he's afraid. Dare we say that? God, is there an easier way we can get this done? It's going to hurt. Crucifixion hurts. And it's for the bandits. It's not for me. I'm your son. But if that's the way we have to get it done, then we'll do it. The disciples, they just don't understand what he's about to do. And he's already told them that he had to be handed over to the Gentiles and to suffer and to be crucified and to be raised again. But somehow they almost always only heard about the suffering and the dying. They usually didn't hear about the being raised again. So Jesus finds himself isolated from his disciples. They're not going to understand. He has to do this by himself for us. It says he is distressed and troubled, distressed and agitated. Distressed means a profound disarray. When things are in disarray, there's confusion. There doesn't seem to be any order. It's like, what's going on? So Jesus says, all the Gospels let us know that Jesus knows what's happening, and it's according to God's plan, and he always obeys his Father. So it's always been, you know, according to plan. But now he finds himself in disarray. Another way to think of it is, It's a shuddering horror. A shuddering horror. So he may be shaking. Luke says that it was so intense that he sweat blood. His blood pressure must have been through the roof. And he was agitated or troubled. The Greek word means he was isolated. He was all by himself. There was nobody he could share this with, nobody who could understand his agony in facing his own death for the world. But why, knowing that this is what he came for, would he pray that the cup be removed from him? Humanly, we can understand it. Father, this is going to hurt. Can we find an easier way? that we can understand. But he has always obeyed his Father. Now, we don't know if there were ever a time when he prayed a similar prayer. Father, can we do this a different way? I have a good idea. Let me share it with you. But not what I want, but what you want. Was he afraid of dying a cursed death? Because the Bible says anyone who dies on a tree, hung on a cross, or simply hanged, is cursed. No hope of redemption. Cut off from God's people. Did he think that he might be cut off? Was he afraid of the abandonment? Was he afraid of that weight of sin? Was he afraid that everybody would really finally leave him and that nobody would come back? Or was he just afraid that people would never understand what his death meant and that it would all be for nothing? Or maybe he was afraid to carry the whole weight of all the sins of the whole world. Quite a bit to carry. And that meant that for however long, he would have to be without his Father. Jesus had never been without his Father. From the time in the beginning when he was simply the Word, the second person of the Trinity, but also then every day that he lived here, he was never without his Father. Even on the cross, he cries to his Father, my God, why have you turned your back on me? I've never turned my back on you. Jesus carries all of our sin, the whole world. Every one of yours, every one of mine. The cup that he drank was the cup of God's wrath against our sin. Jesus was our substitute, our Passover lamb. You remember what the Passover lamb was for? For the blood to paint the doorposts and the lintel so that the angel of death would pass over the houses where the Jews lived so that none of their firstborn would die. But somebody had to die so they wouldn't. Jesus is that Passover lamb. James and John asked to sit at his right and his left, and Jesus asked, can you drink the cup that I will drink and be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And they said, yes, we are able. And he says, yes, you are, and you will. This cup that Jesus has to drink is the cup of God's wrath for the guilty. Jesus was not guilty, but he was going to stand in the place of the guilty and take on our guilt and our sin and take our punishment. So he would drink the cup of God's wrath, his Father's wrath that he had known from the beginning. James and John and every other disciple has to take up their cross and follow him and be willing to drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism. Jesus wants them to stay awake one more hour, for the time is near. God's appointed time. This is the day. Again, Jesus' prayer. God, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. It's gonna hurt. But not what I want, what you want. Your will be done. And then the small army from the temple comes and they arrest Jesus, and Judas betrays him with a kiss of friendship, a kiss of fellowship. You know, you can only be betrayed by friends. Your enemies can't betray you. They're your enemies. They're supposed to turn their back on you and hurt you and ruin your life, but not friends. Only a friend can betray you. So they take him, and he has his trial before the Sanhedrin, the council. He has his trial before Pilate. And the religious authorities condemn him because he has, they think, blasphemed, claimed to be God's son when he's not really, they think. And of course, there can be no other king in the Roman Empire than Caesar, so he is also convicted of a political crime. So he's nailed to the cross, 9 o'clock in the morning. And he hangs there for 3 hours, and then it gets completely dark at noon. Now, we've been through some pretty bad storms in our lives, and we've seen the skies get pretty dark. But we can still see to walk around. But on that day, it was too dark to walk around without carrying some kind of light. For 3 hours. The sun did not shine. I don't know how God did that. That doesn't matter. But during those 3 hours, Jesus carried your sin and mine. His Father turned his back on him. That is something you and I will never know. Only Jesus has known God turning away. Because Jesus would not turn away from his Father. So his Father had to turn his back on him so he could bear the weight of our sins. And he did that, and it hurt. It killed him that quickly. They were surprised that he died so quickly. Is he really dead already? Go make sure. In the Gospel of John, he tells us that to make sure, they stuck a spear in his side and out poured blood and water, which was for the doctors in the house, an indication that his heart had stopped. He was dead. And if he wasn't, he is now. Truly dead. Died for us. But during those first 3 hours on the cross, he was anticipating the next 3 hours that his Father would turn away from him. This day we call Good Friday. For God's Son was a good, obedient Son, and he loved us to the end. He did everything his Father asked him to do for you and for me. He died that we might have new life. Our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. God has forgiven everything, past, present, and future, and he will bring us new life. But we always have to remember what it cost, the life of his only begotten Son. Amen.